This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Bexar County Public Defender's Office is being accused of having no leadership or management by a current appellate public defender. The San Antonio Current highlights the problem in their issue, which comes out today, citing the lack of a department head since 2011 and the need to make the department independent to avoid conflicts of interest per state law. We want to hear from you. If you're an attorney and have seen problems at the Bexar County Public Defender's Office, or if you've been a client and in need of the service, call in. The number is 210-614-8980, and our guest this half hour, Callie Inlow. She's the managing editor of the San Antonio Current and the author of the article, Reasonable Doubt, Can the Bexar County Public Defender's Office Be Saved? And Kevin Collins, a private defense attorney who often takes cases from the county. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Hello.
So, Callie, a very extensive article about some of the inner workings of the Bexar County Public Defender's Office. Can you just give me the top issue? What's driving this?
Well, yeah. So I think what first got my attention was that there was not one, not two, but three people who had worked within that office, one who founded the office, one who was there from the very beginning and then resigned in 2013, and one person who's currently working there. And they all three had the very same concerns. Those concerns were basically that at that time, the Bexar County Public Defender's Office, which currently only has three public defenders, two are appellate public defenders, and one is a mental health public defender. They were housed under a branch of the county government called Judicial Services, which seems to make sense, right? But there was a conflict of interest, these attorneys felt, because they felt that maybe they could not represent their clients as much as they, as fulsomely as they possibly could, because there could be a conflict of interest between their part of Judicial Services Department and then the medical examiner's office.
Sure, we have an adversarial system of public defense, or, you know, in the court. And if you have the county, which generates some of the evidence that you use, like forensic evidence, then if you have to attack sometimes the source or the generation of that evidence and maybe point out flaws in that process, you are in a sense attacking the people who butter your bread.
Right, exactly. That was exactly kind of the sentiment. And then so Angela Moore, who founded the office in 2005, just couldn't really get that across to county government for whatever reason. And so she resigned. It was a pretty public resignation. She was escorted out of the building. And ever since then, they just have not had a chief public defender. And the problem with that is, just anybody out there, think about if you just didn't have a boss for 3 years, nobody to lead your department. You know, who is going to bat with you for raises? Who's going to bat with you for just very basic needs of your office? And then there's also an ethical question that for attorneys of, and Kevin, maybe you can chime in here. Attorneys are not allowed to take direction from non-attorneys, regarding specific cases. And in this, in the way that it's currently organized, because there's no chief public defender attorney, their next level higher up is a non-attorney. So I don't know, Kevin, you might be able to speak a little bit to that and why
Kevin
that's so
Collins,
important.
Attorney?
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Also, I wanted to clear up, I don't currently take court appointments and haven't for quite a while, but I am familiar with the system, and certainly a lot of my brethren do, so I'm very familiar with how that works. And Callie has a good point there. I think that it has to be independent. You have to have autonomy, and it's not going to happen the way it's set up. And what I understand the law to be is under the Fair Defense Act, you have to have by law a chief.
Correct.
And right now there's not a chief, and there hasn't been one for 3 years.
There is a state law that requires a county to have a chief public defender.
Yes, that's true. That I think is very clear.
That's black and white.
It's in the Criminal Code of Procedure, and it was amended with the Fair Defense Act, which was passed in 2001.
And Bexar County has not been in compliance with that law since 2011.
Correct.
And I can't speak for Angela personally. I know her. She's a very talented lawyer. But I do believe, from what I understand, that she, even when she was there as the chief, she didn't believe that she had the autonomy to do what needed to be done because of the way the county has structured it here. And like Callie pointed out, there is a non lawyer administrator, I guess the county administrator, who is making decisions that are legal decisions that lawyers should be making.
Right. Yeah. And it should be pointed out that those county administrators and executives are very much focused on the bottom line. And that was kind of the frustration that I think these public defenders were feeling. You know, there's several people quoted in my story that say indigent defense does not mean cheap defense. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about saving the county oodles and oodles of dollars necessarily, which a effective public defender's program could do, but that's not the main point. The main point is a fair trial. The main point is justice, no matter who you are.
Right. We're kind of getting into the weeds really quickly here. Let's back out a little bit and talk about what the public defender's office does and how critical it is for Bear County, seeing how, as you point out in your article, about 20% of the population in Bear County would qualify for having a public defender, and the need for having that in our system. You know, we have the right to, you know, we have to appreciate that right and defend that right. And so I would recommend everyone going into a Chili's with a public defender strapped across your back and demanding to be sat down, you know, to protect your Sixth Amendment rights. You know, but Callie, tell us more about why this is so critical.
Right. Well, why this is critical is because actually you were always guaranteed, you know, a fair trial, but you were not always guaranteed competent counsel to represent you, even if you couldn't afford it. So in the 60s, the Supreme Court ruled that even if you are, quote unquote, indigent, which means that you are not able to afford hiring a lawyer to defend yourself, you are entitled to competent counsel. But they didn't really ever tell people how to do that. So,
right, that's the Gideon decision.
Yes, Gideon versus Wainwright. So public defenders are just one part of a system that is meant to address these indigent defendants who cannot afford lawyer fees, but are still entitled to plea bargains and entitled to jury trials. And here in Texas, they're entitled to one appeal with a court-appointed or a public defender. Court-appointed attorneys are private attorneys who sign up through their bar association to take these cases. A public defender's office is run through the county and is paid for by the county, and they can also take these cases. I think in Texas, I don't think anything is run purely on the public defender system. It's often a hybrid.
It varies widely from county to county.
Right.
We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We're talking about some major concerns at the Bear County Public Defender's Office, which appears to be not in compliance with state laws. Many questions about conflicts of interest and lack of independence. Who's running the show at the Bear County Public Defender's Office, and do they have the public's best interest at heart? We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source at KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Bear County Public Defender's Office is having trouble hanging on to attorneys, and they don't have anyone leading the show. There are concerns about independence, about whether or not there's conflict of interest, whether there is a clear vision for what Bear County wants to do with its Public Defender's Office. If you've got a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. Our guest in the studio, we've got Callie Inlow. She's the managing editor of the San Antonio Current, and she wrote an extensive article that's out today called Reasonable Doubt: Can the Bear County Public Defender's Office Be Saved? And Kevin Collins, he's a private defense attorney, and he can give us a view from what's it like in the hallways of a Big Red Bear County Courthouse. So, Kevin, how does it work? You know, I know that the judges, when someone walks up and says, I can't afford a lawyer, and they say, okay, how much do you make? And I make less than $12,000 a year. And then the judge will say, okay, we'll appoint you an attorney. How does that line up? How does it eventually get someone to represent that individual?
I think there's differences between the courts, but essentially there's a wheel system and modern.
Like a rotation.
A rotation. You have to be qualified. Like if you're doing felonies, you have very different qualifications than if you're doing misdemeanors. Usually.
So you're on some sort of list.
Yeah, you're on a list, and you should have qualifications to be on the list that you're on. So they're not just you know, the judges, I think, are very careful with that. They're not just pulling people out of the hallway. They're looking at who is qualified to take this kind of case. We're looking at appointing somebody to this wheel system.
Right. And is it public? Who's coming up next? Do we know who's on that list? Is there transparency on that?
That's a question I can't answer. I don't know for sure. I don't know the answer to that. It should be transparent.
We know that when judges run for office that frequently they have attorneys are their main constituents in that area. And so there's a lot of concern about if there's favoritism in that regard, especially in a quid pro quo type of a situation with campaign donations for judges and getting those type of sometimes very lucrative appointments for some cases, which could last for quite some time.
Well, Callie may have something to say. I think
and that's why we would want to have a very robust, strong, dependable, reliable public defender's office to kind of shield our courthouse from a lot of that suspicion, Callie.
Right, yeah, and to kind of speak to those appointment fees, at least for misdemeanors, they're not like necessarily big cash cows. And I think that sometimes can be the issue with the court-appointed, relying solely on a court-appointed system. So it's like $140 an attorney gets paid for a misdemeanor plea, which sometimes those can be done in like half an hour, versus $500 flat rate for a trial. And sometimes even for misdemeanors, the trial can last like at least a couple of days. So some people might say that there might be an incentive to plead out your clients and not take them to trial, just purely financial. I must say that I have not talked to any lawyer who has said that's one of their concerns. But a public defender is really removed from that because they're getting paid like a salary from the county.
But there's also the county is paying close attention to how many cases they clear.
Right. Yeah. So another big issue with the public defender's office is, of course, caseloads. So this goes back to another ethical concern of attorneys. They cannot take so many cases that they are overburdened and then cannot render good counsel.
You can actually be disbarred if you take too many cases in a year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think the ABA actually has objective standards. The ABA has set out that I think it's 200 cases per year, misdemeanors. And I think it's different if it's felonies; it can be less. But they've set those objective guidelines out. So if somebody institutionally, for example, if a public defender's office were structured here, where you had to take more than the ABA says is what anybody can do and be effective, then per se it would be a system that's broken. So I don't know how they're looking at it in terms of what they're doing here in Bexar County with the public defender's office, but the caseloads would be a concern because nobody can do that volume of cases a year and be effective.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, and our phone lines open. 614-8980 is the number to call. Taylor has called in. Taylor, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, I've had public defenders several times. I'm from San Antonio, so I've been in the Bexar County court systems. And I was wondering if the public defenders really have a big motivation to help their clients, because both times when they represented me, they really didn't seem to care whether they had gotten me off with anything. And if I hadn't spoken up for myself, I would have been a lot worse off just relying on them.
Okay, Taylor, thanks for that call. We appreciate your insight and your experience. And Callie, you wanted to react?
Sure. Well, so I think that Taylor's perception of, and I'm not sure, is he still on the line or no?
I can call him back up.
Oh, no, that's okay. But so let's say, like, the public defenders here, they only cover appeals. So
right.
If you're just... if you
but he still had a public defender. He didn't go through the public defender's office.
Right.
He had a
so
court
if he
appointed,
has, like, a court-appointed attorney...
Is that right, Taylor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he has a court-appointed attorney. And I have heard very similar case stories. One of them is in this issue of The Current. A man named Angel Garcia had his first court-appointed attorney did not notice or just didn't care to pursue or really keep what he felt was a very key piece of evidence. And so he filed an appeal. Now I just learned that his latest appeal has been denied, and so he's basically onto the writ of habeas corpus, which means that's like about the end of the line. So that is one major, major part of the court-appointed system right now, is that there could be these financial incentives not to take your client to trial because it's quicker.
But that's inherent in the entire system. Oh, that's not totally. Just something that's...
That's inherent in the U.S.
Anywhere, like, you go.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, let me ask you, what are the legal liabilities of these issues, the problems with the public defender's office in Bexar County?
Well, I think the upshot is you have to comply with the law. They haven't done that at this point. So at some point, there's going to have to be a repercussion, because if people are not adequately represented under Gideon, then I think it's going to come back to roost on everybody. I think a lot of people don't really want to spend a lot of money for people accused of crimes.
Exactly.
And that's right. Part of what drives all this. I mean, let's be honest about it. But on the other hand, a lot of these people are innocent. A lot of times, even if they're not innocent, if it's your loved one, you would want the best defense possible for them. So these problems have to be addressed, because if you're violating fundamental ABA standards, or if you're violating the Fair Defense Act, then I think there's going to be some writs, like we've been talking about, some appeals that come back later. And if everybody's really worried about efficiency and the bottom line, which, again, we don't think should be the real thing, should be effective representation for your clients. But if everybody's worried about those issues truly, then an effective professional defender's office, if run correctly according to the law, would probably address those concerns too, ultimately.
So what about how much responsibility is there for the district attorney in this situation? I know the district attorney is supposed to be the prosecutor in this case, but you know, this is a publicly elected official. Their best interest should be in public justice, and this person should maybe go to bat to try and make sure that they have a very strong and robust and dependable public defender's office.
Well, that's true. And you know, Susan Reed, I think for the public defenders that I've talked to, there's actually like a pretty high level of respect for her and her office. They seem to get along very well. But it would be great if there was somebody in a political position who would really go to bat and take interest in this, because, you know, they're not, the district attorney's office maybe is not doing their job to protect like an adversarial criminal justice system, like you said, if they know that the people that they're going up against don't have, you know, financial parity, don't have an organized office that is, you know, as robust and enthusiastic as their offices on the other side. So, I would think that any lawyer, because they all are held to the same ethical standards, they all want justice. So I would think that even if you're on the district attorney's side, you would have a really big interest in this particular issue.
Well, this may be getting a little bit of feel, but one of the things I think that addresses that a little bit is the Michael Morton Act that was recently passed. And that is a state law, obviously, that says that the district attorney in whatever county it is has to provide discovery, not just exculpatory evidence, but favorable evidence, and give pictures and give copies of reports. And so just on an institutional or statewide basis, I think that is helping level the playing field.
Well, what about the county court? We have our commissioners, you know, county judge, county commissioners. They are supposed to be having, you know, contact with the public defender's office. Apparently, according to your article, Callie, that has been cut off, and that the public defender's office is not even working directly with the county commissioners.
Right. Well, the system that's set up right now, and from what I've understood from David Smith, is that he is the county manager, and he views himself as kind of acting on behalf of the commissioners at any point in time. So he believes that it's perfectly appropriate, at least when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, that all communications kind of funnel through him. And that he makes the decisions kind of on behalf of the county.
But that brings up the whole problem.
Exactly.
David Smith is not an attorney, right?
No, I don't believe so.
And so he's the one who's providing oversight for the and direction to the public defender's office. And then there's a big difference between a unelected management functionary and the county commissioners who answer directly to the public. And David Smith may have the impression that he is the eyes, ears, and throat of the county commissioners, but he is not.
Right. Yeah, I would say that there's very clearly two ways that a public defender can go about their business in Texas. They can report directly to the county commissioners, the elected officials, or they can report directly to an oversight committee board, which in the best circumstances will be something like what Houston has, which has participation by the county commissioners, it has participation by judges, it has participation by criminal defense attorneys, and it also has participation by community stakeholders, people who are in the communities that are being the most affected by huge amounts of misdemeanor charges primarily aimed at defendants who are too poor to hire representation.
So,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead real quick.
So that's why I think there has to be a chief so that that person can interact. And so also you mentioned the community players. I think that's very important. I think there needs to be input from the judges.
Right, yeah.
I don't think that's being done right now.
Yeah, you can see that. And that's a big indictment against the proposal that the county commissioners have approved.
So we're hearing that there may be some break in this logjam at county, at the courthouse about trying to fix this. What's in the works?
Sure. Really quickly, on May 6th, David Smith and the head of judicial services presented a plan to expand the public defender's office. However, it was not exactly like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's actually the proposal was what galvanized people to start contacting the media to begin with, because it didn't solve the chief public defender's problem. It did not solve the independence problem. But I think now there are state representatives involved, and there's other people around the state that are very, very concerned about this issue, and I think they're putting pressure on the right people.
All right. Callie Inlow, she's the managing editor of the San Antonio Current, author of the big article in there today, Reasonable Doubt, Can the Bexar County Public Defender's Office Be Saved? This is The Source on KSTX. Be right back.